fortune, babe. Mirror vein, gone insane, but the memory remains. Heavy rings on fingers wave, another star.
It's time for the Thursday show with Thursday and his friends, Wednesday and Tuesday. Which one of you guys wants to be Wednesday?
Isn't Wednesday a girl?
Yeah.
So not me.
Christina Ricci when she was 10 years old and still attractive.
She's still attractive.
Yeah, whatever.
What is your problem? How can you not like Christina Ricci?
She's blonde. She's not 10 years
your
old anymore.
Your wife has been blonde.
Yeah, but only like when I met her.
Okay.
I made her knock that shit off right away.
Right.
So that was Marianne Faithfull. La da 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 at the end of that song. It's pretty creepy. Yeah. It seems like maybe the Vox levels are a little. Yeah, I don't know. Grok the Mad is remarking about how you're actually on time, because you actually being on time, Hot Stuff, is a remarkable occasion.
It is not that big a deal.
So I'm going to apologize in advance because, all right, we went to the same restaurant before the show today.
We went to two windmills.
We did before.
With them.
Although it's not really. It isn't really about windmills, but it ought to be. So we think that this is too much of a linguistic coincidence, right?
Yeah.
All right, so it is Los Dos Molinos, and you read the little blurb about what the restaurant's name means, and it's about the two grinders,
yeah, the two
right?
Pepper grinders,
so Molino being Spanish for grinder,
and
Moulin being French for windmill, and windmills being the things that primarily powered grinders.
Yeah,
we feel like that's too much of a coincidence for Molino to not be etymologically connected to windmill.
And like, there's just like nothing in English that's related.
Melon, melanin, melamine.
Right.
So anyway, what I was apologizing in advance for is the fact that so you might recall last week I was making fun of Hot Stuff for being tired because we had a pitcher of weak sauce margaritas. So this time when we went, we're like, all right, we're gonna get a pitcher of margaritas again, but let's order the I don't even want to say this out loud, the kick-ass yeah. pitcher of margaritas. And apparently the way that they kick ass is by adding significantly higher concentrations of tequila.
And higher quality tequila, too. So it tastes better in general.
Mm. It definitely... Hey! That pitcher also had a lot of frogs in it. I like it when I get a frog in my throat that just makes me sound like Professor Flinkle or Professor Frink or whatever his name is.
Why even...
What is his name?
I think you're
Flingle
like
is
Professor.
A KOL player. That's
I think
I
it's Professor that. Frink.
Professor yeah. Frink. Yeah. I was sorry. I was maybe the frog stuck in my throat was Asian. You get it because of the Asians and their inability to distinguish between L's and R's and the nice raidy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going for like the racial epithet and had mixed up your Asians with the French?
Oh. No. That hardly ever happens. There was an Asian girl at the Mexican restaurant just tapping away on her iPhone while her date looked on, bored as shit. And I thought to myself, you know, that must be how the people that are around us feel all the time.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention because I was tapping on my iPhone.
I know.
I even Twittered about an iPhone, and like, I was going to say exploit, but that's kind of the right word. But
yeah. So those of you who don't follow the Twitter haven't heard my awesome story from last night. So I was riding my bike home, and I got fucking pulled over on a bicycle for running a red light. And it wasn't even like I was irresponsibly running a red light. Hot Stuff, I ride around with him. He irresponsibly
he just
ignores the traffic signals. I blame Boston. You go to Boston from a city that is designed for cars.
For cars, right.
Right. And in a city that is designed for cars, you have to pay attention as a pedestrian to the signs and the indicators and the signals that tell you
the streets are extremely wide
or don't walk.
In
Arizona. If you ignore them, you do so at grave risk to your well-being.
Sure. And in Boston, which is a city designed around cows, the streets are very narrow, and there are just a tremendous number of pedestrians, and so it's extremely pedestrian-friendly, and all the laws are sort of in pedestrians' favors. If a car hits a pedestrian, that person is going to jail!
Yeah. So, sorry. Part of what happens to me apparently when I drink a pitcher of kick-ass margaritas is I tell long, rambling stories with lots of tangents. I'm usually pretty good at picking them back up.
No, I
kind of am. That story. All right. So I spent the last like 45 minutes prior to the show basically trying to tell Hot Stuff a story about how Starflight was totally the spiritual predecessor to Star Control 2, but it took a long, long time for me to tell the story.
There.
Yeah. Remember all of the information that you've gotten about Dr. Henry Tate of Eastern Illinois University and his son, Joe Tate, who, you know what's interesting? He was he was engaged to my cousin's cousin. My cousin's cousin was not my cousin. She was related because in Illinois they don't let fags get engaged. Like in all right-thinking parts of this country. Controversy. You see, I'm going off on tangents from my tangents. That's how much of a rambling old drunk man I am. So anyway, my cousin's cousin was engaged to Joe Tate, Dr. Henry Tate's son, and ended up not marrying him because he was an atheist.
Your cousin?
My cousin's cousin.
Your cousin, well, but your cousin's cousin is male or female?
Female.
Okay.
She was fairly attractive, as I recall. Asian. So she's probably, you know, he probably, what he saved himself by not marrying her was a future of sitting in Mexican restaurants bored while she tippity-tap-tap-tapped away on an iPhone.
Your anecdotes are not data.
All right.
Something.
So anyway, yeah, Starflight, totally the spiritual predecessor to Star Control 2.
So anyway,
and about this getting pulled over on my bike, I was getting there. I don't need you sober young whippersnapper, to remind me. You're not any more sober than I am.
You weigh less than I do.
And you've had the same amount of drink. You just don't tend to ramble the way that I do. I think it's because you just don't talk.
I'm silent.
Yeah, you're the silent partner.
Yeah. Usually the silent partner owns a majority stake.
Yeah. So a fucking three-way intersection. Three-way stoplight, right? So there's a major street going north and south. There is a minor street that intersects with it from one direction and does not continue through the other direction. So I'm going north. This other road is coming in from my left, coming in from the west. There is no street going east from this intersection. The light is red.
Wait.
What?
You're on the right side of the road?
I'm in the bike lane on the right side of the road.
So there is no, like, you're not crossing a road.
Yes, I am not doing a goddamn thing wrong. Right?
So there's a sidewalk next to me.
It would have been perfectly legal for me to walk through the, if I had gotten off the bike, I could have pushed it through the red light on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's what I told the pigs. And the pigs were all, nuh-uh.
It's funny that your father was a policeman and you still refer to.
Yeah, but my father was a good guy. He was not. He would not have pulled over a guy for running a fucking red light on a bicycle.
Running over this particular red light, and, you know, like.
Yeah.
One in which there was no way that you could have been hit by a car that was not going to drive up on the sidewalk.
I explained that to him, you know, but. The thing is, I was not on the sidewalk. I was in the bike lane. He was
sure?
Like, ran that red light back there. What, did you think that was just a suggestion? And I was just like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, I'm serious. The laws apply to you just as though you were in a car. I'm like, okay, well, you know. And I told him, there's no way that a car could have gone through that intersection in a way that intersected with the path that I took at all. You know? That's why I didn't stop. But they processed my license, and because I had never been, say, arrested for underage drinking at the age of 29, or I don't know that our radio listeners know that story either.
I think the ones that were paying attention.
Yeah, we probably did talk about it. Yeah. yeah, they ran my license. He said, "Is there anything on your driver's license that I should know about?" I'm like, no. He tried to make small talk with me, and I was all
like,
"Yeah." He was like, "This is really the only way to travel, huh?"
Could you get a ticket on your bicycle?
You can get a DUI on your. I worked with a kid.
How can you get a ticket if you, let's say you,
it's fucked
you
up if you didn't have a driver's license? Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's fucked up. It's fucked up, and it doesn't make any goddamn sense at all. I think that it is an artifact of somebody decided that the best way to protect cyclists was to make bicycles equivalent to cars in terms of the law, as opposed to equivalent to pedestrians, right? So that it would afford bicyclists the right to do things that pedestrians could not do, right?
Like
so that,
what?
Well, so that when you were on your bike, you did not have to stop to hit the button. See, this is the thing. You're not used to the buttons at intersections actually being hooked up to anything. Because in Boston, they're not. Didn't you actually tell me that they like 75 or 80% of the buttons at intersections in Boston are not actually...
I've never said that.
You haven't?
No.
Must have been somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was. Anyway. So...
I mean, maybe I said that, but it was in
at, at an intersection in Phoenix, you will never get a walk indicator if you don't hit the button.
I see.
Right? So, I'm guessing that at some point, they were like, well, you know, it's illegal to have a bicycle on the sidewalk. So rather than forcing people by the law to, like, put down their kickstand, get off their bike, leave it in the bike lane or in the road, walk over on the sidewalk, hit the walk button, we'll treat bicycles as cars.
Right.
Right? We'll treat them as cars so that cars are not allowed to get close to them, so that we're protecting them, basically. But then if they're cars, then they're subject to all the same laws that cars are subject to, except... This is the point that my wife makes, too. You don't have to have a driver's license to ride a bicycle on the street.
Right.
So the thing to do if you get pulled over on a bicycle is to say, fuck you, pigs. I don't have any identification. What are you going to do about it? What they're probably going to do is just beat you with a nightstick. And then no one will ever have your back.
Like, if you got arrested, they would take your wallet and find your license, right? And
then are they allowed to take your wallet?
Well, when you
if they arrest you.
If they arrest you, they take all your possessions, right?
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I do know. I went to work with a kid who got a speeding ticket on a bicycle.
That's kind of an achievement. I would frame that.
Yeah, no, so would I. And I know you can get a DUI on a bicycle. You can get a DUI on a bicycle, and
they suspend your license?
Yes. They do not let you ride a bicycle that does not have an ignition interlock device. I don't even know what they would do.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. Like, the whole point of riding a bike is that
The reason that you don't get it is because it is total horseshit, and it doesn't make any sense at all, and you are a right-thinking person.
Well.
Yeah. That's
left. Left-thinking.
Yeah. That was awesome when Hot Stuff got us pulled over in Texas, and then the cop was all like, You ever been arrested? No. Says here you were arrested for underage drinking and marijuana charges. Oh yeah, when does it say that happened? 2005. Hey, you're pretty good at math, officer. Also, never been arrested for smoking pot. What does that mean? Does that mean you have been arrested for something else? God, I wish I had kicked that guy in the balls. No jury would have convicted me except for any jury.
The fact that your prior arrest record is such a compelling reason to, like, give you shit is frustrating. I mean, I'm not saying...
I mean, it's effective, right? Like, let's say that I...
Let's say you get arrested for no reason. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Sure.
Like...
That hardly ever happens.
I'm guessing that it's probably less often than somebody who gets arrested for doing something.
No, it's absolutely less often than that. Okay. Like, I would go so far as to say that, you know, like, okay, so I was trying to think of the group that points these things out, and the first thing that I thought of was NAFTA, which is not it at all.
ASPCA.
And then the second thing I thought of was NAMBLA, which is especially not that group. The ACLU.
Yes,
right?
I know.
All right. So the ACLU is the group that I was thinking of, not NAFTA, which is not a group of people at all, or NAMBLA, which is...
NAFTA is totally a group of people. It's... North America.
It's a group of countries.
Which is comprised of people.
Okay.
A country does not exist independent of its citizens.
All right. You keep telling yourself that, Mr. Corporation shouldn't have the rights of people.
Corporations shouldn't have the rights of people.
No, fine. Fine. Let's let somebody sue me.
Corporations should not be immortal and have the rights of people. You know, you can choose one, but not the other, basically.
I see. well. I like corporations having the rights of people.
Okay,
because
so then you need to have them be forced to shut down after
that is an aspect
years.
That is an aspect of the law that protects your job, Hot Stuff, and
why?
Rick's job.
Why?
Because no, you're right. It totally doesn't.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well,
it protects your stuff.
It protects my stuff. That's the important thing.
I see.
You know, when I think about things that are important to me, such as the safety and welfare of my employees, I think about the other things that are important to me, like my stuff. and so it's hard, when I see something that protects one of those things, it's hard for me to not attribute that thing to the protection of
divine
both of those
providence.
Things. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it turns out they typed my fucking name wrong, just like I said.
This was in Texas, by the way. In case you lost
everything
track
is
of the stack.
Everything is bigger there, including the incompetence of the pigs. I didn't used to hate cops. You know, I knew. You know, my dad was a cop. My dad was like Lord High Cop, right? My dad
like Chancellor
chose the cops and they worked for him, right? And there were some cops that I have to imagine were pricks to the people that they pulled over, and then there were some cops that were like, you know, honestly out to protect the public good. What were RoboCop's directives?
I don't know.
Serve the public trust.
That movie bothered me a lot.
Why?
The scene where he gets shot was just really, really like traumatic for me as a kid.
Wow, you
were kind
of a pussy. You're the one that's like,
have
you don't like Reservoir
Dogs. Have you really watched that scene?
Have, yeah.
It's awful.
I know, and he's all like, bah, 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 bah. And
it
the guys
goes on for
all like, bah, 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 and it rules.
It goes on for minutes.
I know.
That and the torture scene from
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
And Reservoir Dogs is like one of my favorite movies.
So bad.
I don't know why you find torture so distasteful. What's wrong with you?
That's positively un-American.
That's the other thing, too, is that, like violence like those... Violence, like, seen in those movies is not... Is, like, on par with bare breasts. And I'm like, what is wrong with you guys in the Motion Picture Rating Association? I mean, really? Bare breasts, blowing a guy to pieces with guns for, like, 5 minutes.
What about blowing a guy with bare breasts? And some Reese's Pieces.
The guy like, has the bare breasts?
Like the director's cut of E.T.
Elliot.
So, managed to fill the first 20 minutes of the show drunken rambling.
Yay!
You know, we had a good show last time. All Scully and I did on Monday was talk about comic books and shit. So
did you answer any questions off?
I think we answered like two or three questions. We have officially become like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Mm-hmm. This is just masturbating onto the internet.
Hooray!
Yeah.
Well.
Should we, this text is all... Something's wrong with the Radio Bugbear questions. They're all blurry.
Better refresh that script.
I should rewrite it real quick. Pick a question.
I was actually thinking of something else entirely, which was...
What was that?
There was this poster that was actually like a computer file when I was in college that somebody printed out that was like... this awesome text that was just like super blurry, even at close up, it looked super blurry. And it, like, I don't know if it was a font or if somebody had actually generated the image somehow. But if it was a font, I really wanted that font. I could never find it.
There were those T-shirts that said "I'm not as thick as you, drunk I am" that were in that same font. It was like a weird halftone trick.
Yeah, because it was like it was actually printed offset, so it looked blurry even sort of at close range. It was kind of awesome because it really messed with your I was squinting at it. I don't know if it's just because I have glasses and I assume things are going to be blurry.
Doc Galactic told me about an awesome poster that he saw on a friend of his's door in the dorm that he was in at Amherst. That was it was like a blown up picture of some big naked black dude from some gay porn magazine with the caption "Let's put the firm back in affirmative action." The guy got in trouble. No. You know.
Okay.
Just thinking about posters. So, I may have told this story on the radio before, but if I did, it was years ago, so it just doesn't matter. None of these young kids will remember. My RA on the floor that I lived in my freshman year of college was this girl named, I don't remember what her name was, but in the like literature that they sent all of the people who were going to be living in this place, they gave like profiles of the RAs, and our floor's RA was this girl, and they had a quote from every one of them, and her quote was, "Don't go there." And this was like 1994, and white people had no idea what that meant, right? So we're like, "What the fuck?" Like she's just like like a traffic cop or something. Like why would that be your catchphrase? Don't go there. And so somebody had gone around all of the every door on the floor had a little whiteboard next to it, and somebody had gone around writing like the time and place of a party. And then somebody else on the floor had gone around writing, "Don't go there," and signing it with the RA's name. And that was pretty funny.
The RA in my girlfriend's floor at the dorm that she lived in.
When you were a senior in high school?
Senior in college, no.
Senior in college?
Yeah, because I didn't live in a dorm when I was in college, so I didn't have RAs.
All right, you were in a frat. So you just had a lot of gay sex parties instead of RAs.
Her RA caught the hall on fire.
Whoa!
Yeah, and he was removed from RA ship.
How did he manage to do that?
He was burning the number 4 into the floor. Huh. Which you might think is a stupid idea, but it's a particularly stupid idea when you do it right below like a bulletin board that has a bunch of paper on it that can easily catch on fire. Yeah. It was dumb. It was a bad idea.
I managed to get our whole building evacuated once.
Yeah, you and Doc Galactic, as I recall.
No, Doc. It was me and Seth, actually.
Oh, right.
Doc Galactic was never there. Yeah, it was, and that was just really stupid. Somebody, there was like a broom closet, like an empty closet that was always empty, and an empty closet that was always empty. It was next to the full closet that was always full. Somebody had torn a bunch of posters off the wall. Somebody had come in and put up these giant, like, butcher paper posters of stuff. Somebody had ripped them all off the wall, wadded them up, and thrown them into this closet, and we just decided as we were leaving the dorm one day that obviously the prudent course of action would be to set those things on fire and then leave. Then we changed our minds, rode back up the elevator, put the fire out, and left, but it generated enough smoke that they ended up evacuating the entire building. Tembi told everybody not to go there. Oh, right, her name was Tembi. That was the RA's name, who really? Said to don't go there.
Yeah. Tembi.
Yeah, T-H-E-M-B-I. I wonder what she's up to now.
Huh.
Maybe she has a different catchphrase. What do you got something interesting on your iPhone there? Hot stuff? Something more interesting than the broadcast that
some
we're doing?
Text messages and some emails.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not... Not present. Not,
I see.
Not present.
We've been invited out to a bar.
Oh, I did not get the same text message.
Wow, you're not as popular as
I am. Apparently not.
Pick some questions, man. Somebody other than me has to be in charge.
Well, that's like 10 minutes ago when I asked if you had answered any questions. I was not sure.
No, nothing on the screen right now.
Really? Because a lot of this is relating to last week's show.
I know, but we didn't. Scully and I did not even get through the merest fraction of the questions between where we quit and when people actually started responding to the Thursday show.
I see.
We have a lot of time. We have a lot of time, and you're just tippity-tapping away on your iPhone. Instead of
picking questions?
You know, this is your job, Hot Stuff. You have to do your job. It's what people have to do.
I know. I read some questions, just not out loud.
Really? You read them just not out loud?
Yeah.
I'd have Riff do it, but he's too busy fishing in World of Warcraft. Are you actually fishing?
No, I'm going through my mail.
Oh, okay.
Your mail in World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
Touche.
I
don't know that touche is really an important
thing.
So, really,
this week, I spent a significant, a not insignificant amount of time setting up, like, a to-do list. I downloaded the the application Things, which is based on the getting things done method.
TM,
exactly, the GTD.
It uses buckets and areas of responsibility. Turns out, according to the way Hot Stuff thinks of the world now, we're never going to be done.
This is never going to be over. Area of responsibility and not a project.
It's never going to be over. It's just never going to end.
In any case,
it's just going to go on and on and on and on. And we're never going to be done. It's never going to be over.
Yeah. And see now.
It's a fascinating story.
Well, because you keep interrupting me, you jerk. So I set up all of these like tasks and stuff, and then. So I set up all my tasks, and then Jick went and spent the first half of the week doing everything on my to-do list in his life. So now he's all done with them, and he's, like, making fun of me. And I'm like, but I have way more stuff to do and stuff.
It sucked, though. I spent Monday and Tuesday just, like,
going through
running the company and shit. Like, I was all... This sucks.
You spent today doing lots of drawing.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But it wasn't really drawing. Yeah, today was a super secret project work day, and I did some work on the item of the month. So sort of. Well, okay, I assigned some other people some work on the item of the month. No, I did some too. Yesterday, all I did was work on KOL stuff. It was just significant. 23. As it turns out, 23 new items for the first Q1 content dump.
Well, at least, because I don't know if you read my notes.
I did. And I knew that I some of the items required additional items.
They're going to be on the order of 25 items.
I'm going to go ahead and say 27.
Well, but I think we might not do all of those.
There's the showcase. There's the one that everybody's all squeamish about that we're deciding not to do because we don't want to... pollute the youth.
Jick wanted to spindle gay sex, and I don't understand.
It's not funny. I mean, it's funny, but it's not like funny haha. It's funny queer.
Someone sent me a party invitation which in German.
I don't know which one you're talking about. The entire invitation
is in German.
Mm-hmm.
No English whatsoever.
Yeah. Is it someone that you know?
Yeah, it's like an annual party, so like if you've gotten the invitation before, you kind of know what the... It's like this Super Bowl party thing.
Is it in Boston?
Yeah.
Are you going to go?
No.
You're not going to go to Boston to watch a Super Bowl?
No. But the entire thing is in German. That's bizarre.
Read it.
No.
Come on. I just
deleted it, which is part of the problem.
Okay. Well, if you're not going to share with the class whatever it is that's so important on your goddamn iPhone, pick some questions. No, you're still just gonna tippity tap away on your iPhone. What are you playing some playing some Field Runners there?
No, Merle was looking to refinance his house, and so
what
I had.
The fuck does he need you for?
Well, he asked if anybody knew a mortgage broker, and so my mother's boyfriend's daughter is a mortgage broker.
Really?
Yes, in Colorado, and so I was like, well, maybe she could help, and. I'm reading the response, which is, no, she can't help. She's in a different state. Don't you know that state laws are different? I'm like, no, I don't know shit about mortgages.
All of our listeners do, and I'm sure that they care.
Well, now they know, and knowing is half the battle.
Hot stuff.
In these troubled economic times with all these mortgage-backed securities, I feel like this is something that our public wants to know. We are just... losing listeners like you would not believe.
Pick some goddamn questions.
You are the one who always reads the questions. I don't understand what you're.
I'm delegating. I'm trying to use your. I'm trying to use your getting things done method. So it's going to take more than 2 minutes to pick a question. So if it takes more than 2 minutes, if it takes less than 2 minutes, do it. If it takes more than 2 minutes, delegate it or defer it.
Right, and so you're.
But
delegating.
A task deferred is a task denied.
Right. CloudStrife asks, you still have to reload the inventory when you squish/melt items?
That'll go away once we switch to a real inventory.
Is that in the works, or is that just sort of still hypothetical? Like it's not been assigned as a proactive project yet.
Pretty hypothetical, yeah. There's plenty...
I feel like we know what we want to do, but we haven't actually assigned it.
Kind of. We're gonna be changing a lot of behaviors back to the way that they used to be. They'll just execute faster,
right,
than they used to. But yeah, it's kind of messy the way that it is now. But you know, people don't really care. Next question.
There's a lot of questions in here that were basically responded to by your updates of the week.
My updates of the week.
Well, your updates of the past week, wherein you changed the behavior of things like the wines and whatnot.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, all the changes that I made. I guess, excuse me, we could scroll down past the questions that were actual responses to the things that we were saying during the last show. This cheap mouse, if my hands get a little bit sweaty, I can no longer actually make the scroll wheel move.
Metronome asked, whatever happened to anti-cheese plus anti-cheese equals anti? I never actually heard that. That's kind of funny.
Remember Heathers? You're so anti-anti. Did you ever see Heathers?
Yeah, no, several times, actually.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. I remember it sort of not being the movie that I thought it was going to be from the first, like, 15 or 20 minutes of the movie.
That was back when Christian Slater was cool.
He's still cool.
I don't know, man.
He's still cool.
I don't think he's still cool.
He does one project every, like, 2 or 3 years instead of...
Yeah, like, and then none of them are good. What's the last good thing Christian Slater was in?
I don't remember. Didn't he do Tombstone? He was in Tombstone. That was years ago.
That was, like, 10 years ago.
It was not 10 years ago.
Tombstone?
Dude, I don't know.
I'm guessing the Tombstone was at least 10 years ago. If only we had a vast network of computers that we could... Tombstone. Yeah, it was... Tombstone was 15 years ago.
15?
Hot stuff.
What?
Yeah, so when I say... I say again, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Christian Slater has not done anything good in a long time.
That was
time.
Also Val Kilmer.
Good day, sir. I say good day.
That was also Val Kilmer.
It was
Kilmer.
Also Val Kilmer and not Christian Slater. Man, you're stupid.
I get them confused all the time.
Christian Slater was never Batman.
Christian Slater is the one that's... the younger clone of what's his name?
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah,
he's been doing some Robot Chicken.
I see.
Which, you know, that's good.
You know what they should do is they should just release Pump Up the Volume to theaters once a year.
It was Pump Up the Volume is a good movie.
It really was.
He was in. He was a voice in.
WALL-E.
The Adventures of Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius.
Oh, gosh, that's. Boy, that's important.
Yeah. He was he was in West Wing for a little while, for 3 episodes. Yeah, he really hasn't been doing much. That's weird, because he could have kept going and doing good stuff. He was in some like good movies, and then his career just went to shit. How did that happen to somebody?
I don't know. Ask Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman was in some good movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Now he's kind of a joke.
You need to have a resurgence, you know? You need to... You
like
need
John
to,
Travolta?
No. Didn't he die recently?
His son died.
Oh, it was his son. That's right. That was. I read that as, like, him dying, and I was like, that's weird.
No.
Okay. Neil Patrick Harris is who I'm thinking of as of having a resurgence. Like,
sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was... I don't exactly know how he parlayed that, but that was... kind of brilliant. Because everybody thinks of him as Doogie Howser, and so he gets sort of like these roles which sort of play off of...
The thing is, I don't think everybody thinks of him as Doogie Howser anymore. I feel like
really?
Doogie Howser basically vanished from the collective consciousness.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think of him as Doogie Howser?
No. I honestly don't.
Oh, okay.
I never watched Doogie Howser, so...
Doogie Howser was great.
It was pretty good. I mean, I remember watching a handful of episodes of it when I was a kid and thinking that it was...
It was one of the first TV shows that, like, it was like, we're going to have teen sex and not be super apologetic about it, you know?
Huh.
And now it's all, like, all over the place.
I mean, and you're all about teen sex, at least based on your Google history.
Wow.
Come on. MyFace.com. Good old MyFace.com. Let's see. Lucas Riley EO, or Lucas Riley Low, says, can we have a /count command or similar, something to tell how much of an item is in the inventory? I believe that is coded on dev There are a number of chat commands that work on DevNow that have not been pushed out yet. I think because C.D. Moyer wants at least one more, because he doesn't feel that two chat commands constitute a proper chat command.
I think he just leaves them on dev for a while to make sure that they're not broken as shit.
Testing, yeah. The thing is, with his chat commands, they're not broken unless the game code in general is broken.
Sure, but you can also... I mean, sometimes they give you access to things that are broken.
Sure, so but...
some of the stuff that he did broke some things for a while.
Like what?
The changing... It wasn't the chat command stuff. It was the rejiggering of the way adventures are chosen.
Oh, yeah. That did cause some troubles. It was much more efficient in its failure than the prior code was.
It's weird, because I had been talking about that efficiency issue for years, and you're like, whatever.
No, the thing is, I ignore you.
That's true.
About stuff. I pay attention to the new people. When you were new, I paid attention to you, and you got spoiled.
That's true.
Once the bloom is off the road... I mean, the thing is, eventually the honeymoon will be over with C.D. Moyer, and then it'll just be business as usual.
You're not paying attention to anybody?
Yeah, I won't pay attention to anyone. Except myself. I just lost a bet. With myself. Had that phrase stuck in my head.
A lot lately, actually.
Yeah, I don't know why. Pantsless says, super likely is the worst part of the level 11 quest, Oasis. Either give people control or reduce clicks, and they'll be happy. Give people control or reduce clicks, and they'll be happy.
We've thought of some clever mechanisms to make the level 11 quest more interesting.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that off and on.
2 out of 3, I think, at this point.
And don't be sad, because 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
Well, 2 out of 3 and then a fourth that is not entirely part of that set.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, because there's like three branches.
Right.
The fourth is kind of a path before and after the three branches.
Before or after?
Before and after.
Okay, sure.
Glebe says, Jake, you should do a group building activity where everyone on staff actually plays the game. Hot Stuff's gonna do it.
Yeah, that's true.
You should do that soon.
Yeah, it's on my to-do list.
Yeah, that you just ignore.
To-do, play the game.
No, play, like, he's all ascend and do everything.
Yeah.
Kleinhoon says, this radio show is pretty awesome even if you aren't high, just so you guys know. It's awesome if you're drunk, just so you guys know. Gay Shadow, said.
That was the previous radio
show. I know. Look.
We weren't even drunk last time.
Rambling drunk old men tend to live in the past. Get used to it.
I had to update my age on my profile.
Oh, yeah? Probably. Mine is probably out of date, too.
Could be. Yours is way out of date if it is.
I remember updating it a few times.
Well, but I'm saying...
God, I remember it being 27 months. When I started.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
Jesus, dude. We've been doing this a long fucking time.
Oh, we've got to get the other anniversary items in the queue.
Oh, yeah.
Crap.
Yeah. And I have to crack the whip on Scully. Got to figure out...
We need to get at least one more to get us...
Yeah, at least one more. We're fucked. Although, I feel like it's like May... is when we need to do that.
You say that. I really don't know. Somebody could perform some sort of query to determine.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. But, this year, at least at some point, it's coming up.
Now I have that Meatloaf song stuck in my head.
About how Meatloaf is delicious, especially with some ketchup.
You know, the ketchup is the reason that I don't like Meatloaf.
Really?
Yeah. That, like, ketchup with brown sugar in it or whatever that they put on top of me. Yeah.
Ketchup with brown sugar is like barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce. Yeah. No, it's yeah. There were only a couple of things. My mom knew how to cook 50 things, let's say.
Okay.
There were 50 things that my mom could cook.
Right.
And there were only a couple that I didn't like. And one of them was goddamn biscuits and gravy.
Really?
That is just the... foulest excuse for a meal.
Wait, that was the entire meal? No meat or
breakfast. I mean, biscuits and the gravy had pork sausage in it.
Huh.
Right? So you could strain the sausage out of the gravy and then just eat a tiny bit of pork sausage, and that was your meal. Ugh. Fucking soggy bits. Who the fuck?
But they're not kept
wants
separate
to eat
and
that.
You, like, eat them?
They're what?
They're not kept
no,
separate.
No, it's just like, it's like biscuits split in half and then just drenched in gravy so that by the time they're even, like, on the table, they're soggy.
Huh.
I hate soggy bread. I hate soggy biscuits and I hate soggy bread. So I don't like shepherd's pie because...
Really?
Soggy bread, yeah.
Shepherd's pie doesn't have bread.
Yeah, it does. It's like puff pastry.
It's mashed potatoes.
It depends on where you get it.
Okay. I haven't had it in a long time that it's not just mashed potatoes on top.
Yeah, even then. Mashed potatoes aren't that good.
You just don't like things that are good.
That's the truth. That's my guiding principle for living my life.
We did not
just
eat
avoid
it.
Things that are good.
We did not eat at Craigie Street Bistro.
Oh, we didn't. We weren't going to, though.
Oh, well, I wasn't sure. We didn't.
No. That's an early in the relationship kind of place to eat. No way I'm buying you guys food that expensive now.
I see.
A lot of people with suggestions about the Oasis. A lot of content-free radio. See, this is the thing. You don't really want us to have shows like we did last Thursday because that just uses up all of our chi.
But there is a value to just having interesting conversation on the radio.
And there is, which is why I feel like this show and
like
this show
failing. Yeah.
Failures. Thanks for setting me up for that one. That made this a little better. All right. Question.
Yeah.
Seriously, I need somebody else to do the work on this one. Because I'm...
Normally you, like, have pre-read the first 100 questions or whatever, and you know what you want to answer or whatever, and now...
You're giving away my trade secrets, man.
Yeah.
No, people respect us more if they think this shit is all off the cuff. When in fact this shit is off the hook and bananas.
And bananas.
Yeah. If a banana's off the hook, do you suppose that makes it a banana phone?
There are a lot of really long comments / questions in here.
Yeah.
Does Metronome keep asking the same question, or am I just having a problem where I'm seeing the same question?
I haven't seen anything from Metronome. Oh, no? Maybe he is asking the same question. A deadhead says, 230 turns of plus 382% item drops, and during those adventures in the Marinara Trench, I got zero drops. Arg!
Yeah.
It's brutal. It is brutal. As Wesley Willis said, that shit will kill you. It will murder your ass.
That seems pretty...
It does.
Unlucky, because there's definitely
a
lot of stuff going on.
Like, you should have gotten significantly more drops than that. That's just bad RNG.
I'm guessing...
Or you being wrong about
your
bonus.
I'm guessing there was something... That was not your net plus 382 item drops. Like, you must have been still wearing the scuba outfit and having no... Something else was going on, I feel like.
Paul BD says, have you ever thought of creating a radio station that plays nothing but your 25 days worth of radio shows on shuffle?
I feel like it would be more interesting if it was just in a loop.
Yeah. And I remember a radio show a couple months ago, you mentioning a screensaver. God, I can't even fucking talk now. A screensaver.
Your tongue involved.
A screensaver called Electric Sheep. I downloaded it, and I've loved it ever since. It's on all my computers.
Where did we see that for the first time?
Mystery Hunt last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking beautiful.
Is it available on Macs?
I don't know. I'm assuming that the people running it at the Mystery Hunt were running it on fucking Ubuntu or some shit that nobody else knows how to use. So, yeah.
You just don't like things.
It's just a bunch of video files, so it has to
be. Oh, really?
Yeah. Because they...
You just download them? It's
got like a BitTorrent client that runs in the background.
It's not doing procedural
stuff? No, it's totally not.
Oh,
they have servers doing it procedurally and generating videos.
Oh.
Unless it's distributed, right? Like maybe your client
was that it was just like varying up the algorithm on everybody's computers, and then everybody would get slightly different versions of stuff.
It might be. But it's not... The thing is, it can't... I don't think that people's computers are powerful enough to do that on the fly.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, rendering a... like a high-res, colorized, like, fractal display is pretty computationally intensive, and to do that for a single frame of video at 30 frames a second or whatever would be nuts.
Dude, I don't know.
So it seeds them with values, generates the videos, and then it sends the videos out at random to people who are running the screensaver, and then you can either hit up or down on your keyboard to rate it as good or bad,
right,
which I never do. You know, I have watched specific formulas clearly evolve since I've been running it,
yeah,
right? Like, I've seen things, and I'm like, oh, this is very similar to that last thing, but then it changes at the end or whatever, like... Yeah,
did
Electric
you
Sheep,
about,
you kids should check it out.
Did I tell you about the rating mechanism that was being developed at Bose by a friend of mine who worked there?
No.
So it was a car stereo, and the idea was that you... It had a plus or minus button, and like forward and back. This was within your own music collection. This wasn't like Pandora radio or whatever. So if you listened to an entire song without giving any feedback, that was like a minor positive rating. And if you skipped to the next song, that was like a minor negative rating. But then if you hit plus, that's a really big positive rating. That's exactly what I wanted to hear right now. And if you hit minus, it would also skip to a new song, but it would be like, this is definitely not what I want to hear right now. And so there's like four gradations of approval or disapproval based on...
You're describing exactly the way that you described Pandora.
Right, which I think is what they're doing. I don't know that that's what they're doing, but I feel like that they would be smart to take advantage of that kind of feedback, right? Because if you definitely like something, you give it a plus, and if you just listen to the whole thing, then it's going to assume that you kind of
right,
like it.
That you're at least okay
tolerant
with it.
Of yeah. it, yeah. And then if you skip something, you're like, yeah, I don't really want to listen to this right now, but if you say no, that's like, this is totally wrong, right? So, you know, I feel like you can build up a lot of information over time with that kind of feedback, especially from a bunch of users, you know. My friend was doing it and trying to generate it for any given individual music collection. I think it's much harder than, like, Pandora, which has a centralized music collection and hundreds of thousands or millions of users, you know. There was a good NPR Science Friday show about, like, content delivery stuff like Pandora radio.
Fucking printer.
I don't even know.
Always during the radio show. Is it on some kind of cycle that it does it at the same time every day?
I don't know. I feel like it does it every 6 or 12 hours or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the hour right now. So.
Is it?
But how would the printer know that?
It's connected to the internet.
It is connected to the internet, I guess.
Yeah. Crazy.
Paul BDO had also written, what is your favorite daytime court show? No comment, because
wow.
I've never watched a daytime court show. Hey, do you guys listen/have last.fm? And if you do, could you tell us what groovy music you guys listen to? I don't know what last.fm is.
I feel like that's just another thing like Pandora.
Is it?
It's just an internet radio service.
Which Twitter app do you use on your iPhone? Twitterific is what I use.
Yeah. Apparently there are other ones that people say are better, but I feel like for the way that we do Twitters, it's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones look...
Because we don't listen to anyone,
yeah,
because that's fucked up, because like we can't, because we can't sort of listen to somebody on behalf of everyone else on the staff,
yeah,
who uses the Twitter. It gets really messy.
Yeah.
But it's basically just me and you and CDM that use it. Nobody else ever posts. I guess Scully posted like yesterday.
Yeah, and although I guess The Pretentious Artist has not done it in a long time.
Yeah.
And Riff refuses to because he wants to save all his ideas for his own blog.
I still think that he should just twat, I posted something on my blog and then link to
over
his blog.
Over and over and over,
yeah,
again.
I could do
yeah,
that.
Every time
sure.
you post on your blog.
You could. I mean, there would be nothing wrong with that.
But I mean, most of the stuff I put, I mean, I don't put anything or have... Rarely put anything work related on my blog.
You should read the Twitter again and think about
everything
that.
Is work related.
Okay.
I mean,
That's the thing. Like,
if you consider work a cult of personality surrounding us, then everything is work-related.
When we went to the brewery, I posted the picture that you said belonged from Fallout.
Yeah, yes. And then people were like, yes, it does.
Yeah. Like,
that is pretty sweet.
People are interested in what we're doing, and...
It's always drinking.
Well,
it's true. Pro tip. Except for Riff. Riff's drinking soda. Yeah.
But, you know, it ties in a little bit, at least to the game, in some way, and then sometimes it really is game-related, you know? Like, it's... I don't know, it's... We're part of a community, you know? They want to know what we're up to, and then they tell us what they're up to with their replies, and it's like a communication. It's like that. You can't see my hand motion, but it's totally like that.
Is it viral? Are we working to virally monetize?
We're not working to monetize
our synergies.
Twitter synergies.
What? Twitter isn't making us any money?
No.
Fuck that! Pull the plug!
There's no plug.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Yeah. Next question. You're terrible at this.
Well, because I haven't read these in advance. Parse asks if all the clown hammer sound... If since the clown hammer turns all the sound combat sounds to squeak, can apathy change all the combat sounds to meh?
The Doominator says, last Thursday's show, 120 minutes of answer some more fucking questions! Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do a lightning round. Because that was so great last time.
Why was it so much more fun the first time and so bad the
second? I don't know. Maybe because it was me and Scully the first time, and you're terrible at lightning rounds.
Was it you and Scully the first time?
Yeah. Beckdog says, I was listening to the old radio show for Monday, and there was mention of a Yeti fur rug. Any chance we could get one as a furniture-type item in your dwelling? I talked about making rugs out of the different fur and making meat curtains out of the different furs.
Yeah.
Yeti meat curtains. Clown meat curtains. You can't even tell me that that's not funny.
Well, except for the fact that the skins aren't meat most of the time.
No, but... D. Melidi says, can Doc Galactic specify exactly what herbs you don't have yet? Probably C.D. Moyer could.
Is that the whole counting the things that you have thing?
I mean... I appreciate it when games give me a count of things that I'm collecting, right? Like, I feel like Blizzard having done that makes it kind of a... Just nobody can ever get away with not doing that ever again. And, you know, maybe rightly so.
There's a lot of places we ask you to do a number of things but don't give you a counter for it. So I don't know. I mean, I guess the question is, do we want to do it everywhere?
I don't know. There aren't that many places. There really aren't. We don't really have that kind of quest in this game.
How many rats do you, how many
goat cheeses? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You don't have to kill a certain number of rats anymore. You used to. But that, like, we really don't have the kill 10 rats quest. Kill 10 rats is a good website.
Yeah, it
is.
It's
true.
He was talking about the Price is Right. I was hoping that my comment on the Price is Right thread would spawn some discussion, but it didn't.
What was your comment?
Well, he was talking about so Zuban, the guy that plays KOL that I've talked to a little bit. he wrote a scathing criticism that I carried around in my pocket for a while so that we could all read it and feel bad about ourselves. It wasn't really a scathing criticism. It was just his experiences, which turns out the experiences of a smart person playing KOL are a scathing criticism because KOL sucks ass. So he was writing about watching... He had apparently not seen any daytime TV in a long, long time. Was not familiar with The Price is Right. So he was watching The Price is Right, and he talked about how the person who was the last to go on the bidding round, while it was obviously advantageous for him to bid a dollar over another person who... had bid below the largest range in the middle of the span of prices. He bid in the middle of it somewhere. And he was like, okay, so this is why people in pickup groups are so stupid, right? This is why pickup groups suck, because people just don't think about the sort of strategic advantage that could be gained by actually paying attention to the numbers, right? Like, it was this is the caliber of people that you run into when you pick people at random, is people who can't even figure out that what you should obviously do is bid.
Well, but I mean, are they just being nice is the other thing.
Well, so I'm just going to read my post.
They don't want to seem like assholes.
Well, yeah. Come on, load. Oh, weird. And then there is a post from him from today about my comment on his post from a few days ago. That makes me happy. All right. So there were no responses to it, but my post was: as much as I value efficiency and reason, I still kind of want to smack the people on The Price is Right who bid a dollar over somebody else's bid. If you really want to believe the best about people, you could argue that the loose social convention that says not to do that is something that the players have collectively agreed on in an effort to make up for the inherent brokenness of the game, the huge advantage to going last.
Right.
Maybe most of the players don't want that part of the game to be truly competitive. And then somebody replies to me, so, Jake, you're saying that the guy bidding 1201 is a dirty exploiter?
But the people who are going last are the people who have been there the longest, right? Like
that is a good
point. When you pull new people down, they have to bid first, right? So you have more opportunities theoretically to get to the beginning of that line.
Huh? That's weird. No, that's it's surprising to me that when I went to actually look at that he had written an entire post about my that makes me feel pretty good. Like, sweet, I'm like somebody on the internet. People are all listening to what I say and talking about it. What does he write, though? Jake's comment on yesterday's post meshes well with the recent discussion of fairness. Let me introduce you to the ultimatum game, a favorite of experimental economics. There's a pot of money. Player one allocates it as much as he likes for himself, the rest for player two.
Right.
Player two chooses to accept this, and they both take their money, or reject it, and both get nothing. That is it. So, yeah. Is this like a tragedy of the commons kind of thing?
This is actually a show on... this is a podcast on how stuff works.
Okay. Simple economic rationality suggests that you take whatever is offered, free money. In practice, people will start turning down free money if it means the person making the offer gets a much larger piece of the pie, with most people bailing in the one-third to one-fifth range.
Yeah.
In the vernacular, screw that jerk. That would be my translation of Jick's comment as well. Screw that jerk who bid a dollar over the other The Price is Right player. Just because the rules let you do something does not mean that it is fair. Of course, the English word fair is a horrible mess. English speakers mash a dozen concepts into the word and equivocate madly. Does fairness mean playing by the rules? An equal outcome? An outcome that satisfies the most people? An outcome that rewards people based on their inputs? If asked to pin down a definition, many people will pull another vague term like equitable, which has the same problem. Bart Wilson has been trying to work that out. I'm not criticizing Jick's point. Yes, you are, Zuvan. Yes, you are. I do not agree with it because I think competitors in a game environment should do anything within the rules to win, but it is a viable social norm. Are there conditions under which you should not really try to win? Let us explore a few variations on Ultimatum below the break. Wow. And then, so that was like a real... There are a number of comments.
Huh. For a while, I was downloaded a bunch of like How Stuff Works podcasts and listened to them. And by and large, the ones that I found more interesting were the ones that were philosophical concepts, like
about like social constructs rather than about like cotton candy.
Yeah. The ones that were like about physical things were just tended not to be all that interesting, and the ones that were sort of like philosophical discussions. But I mean, then again, you know, I am much more personally interested in philosophy and sort of reasoning behind things and stuff like that, rather than facts a lot of the time.
My philosophy on how to deal with living in the world with other people tends to boil down to, like, not exactly golden rule kind of thing, but if everyone did what I'm doing, would I want to live in that world?
Categorical imperative.
Is that it? Is it?
That's Kant's categorical imperative, pretty much to a T.
I thought. But, so, I mean, just like, can you describe it in any terms other than that?
I mean, that's the sense of duty is how Kant put it. You know, if you think about your course of action, you think about if you would want everyone to act in the same way that you are, then. You know, you are doing good, and if you would not want people to act in the same way that you are considering acting, then don't act in that way.
I feel like this is that same argument I got into with Scully a long time ago about fucking driving in the, all the way to San Diego in the fucking left lane and like yelling at people when he got stuck behind them going slower than he was in the left lane but not caring that it was happening to people behind him, you know? He acknowledged that it was like, eh, I don't know, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, but like... You know what? Would you on The Price Is Right bet a dollar over?
Yeah, but I'm kind of an asshole when it comes to competitive games like that. Right?
It's weird that I feel like in general I am a much bigger asshole than you in terms of actually dealing with people. But maybe
in games I'm you know, in a game where I am playing to win, I will play to win. I mean, I will use the rules of the game.
You're a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Man. When the two of us play together, it's just no fun.
It's fucking brutal. I learned to play Settlers of Catan playing against Hot Stuff and Nightmare, and they are both just fucking cutthroat.
Yeah. Settlers of Catan, I enjoy playing with people that are not like Nightmare because I will exploit the social aspect of the game to its fullest extent. Like, oh yeah, totally. Just trade me these sheep because you know you don't need them, and it won't do me that much good, and stuff like that. And like just coming up with complete, you know, psychological bullshit for the reasons that you should actually trade stuff, and like winning based on just getting a bunch of like advantageous trades when I need them, rather than actually like you know any other aspect of the game.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and the thing is. All right, so maybe this is... there is an experience in my childhood that... So we had, when I was in, like, 6th or 7th grade, we were on this competitive trivia team, basically, like, Quiz Bowl.
Knowledge Bowl.
Quiz Bowl, yeah, Knowledge Bowl, whatever. And we went to... This sucked on a number of levels. We went to, like, a tournament... Right? And there was me and my asshole friend. Nobody liked us because we were smart asses and assholes. Right?
Right.
This was the Bjorn, original Bjorn, right? Who, did you meet him?
I've never met
this
him.
This isn't new. So, the first half of the round, he and I were in there, and he and I were... This sounds arrogant, but we were basically the team, right? Like, there were the two of us. There was one other guy who occasionally got some questions right, but it was basically, we knew 80% of the questions that got answered by one of the two of us. And we had a perfect record so far in the season. We had a perfect record. And halfway through this, they took us out and put other people in.
On the team.
Yeah. And we were sort of irritated by that and expressed that pretty vocally to anyone who would listen and hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Right.
Right. And got a talking to from the chief, the coach, the chief. So yeah. This was back when I was in the Illini tribe, where it was basically like, you know.
Clearly you guys are gaining nothing from this, and
we drove them here not to sit on the sidelines and do nothing. It's more important that everyone, and I countered, and I was right. Like, the reason that nobody takes this kind of thing as seriously as they take the fucking football team is because the football team would never ever do something like this. And she countered, well, are we better or worse than the people on the football team?
Huh.
And so, like, that...
Wow.
That
that's a pretty weighty statement to make to a young person, I feel like. Right? Like...
But I mean, it was more like, okay, well, where does your sense of superiority over them come from? You know, like, do you deserve it? And no, I mean she was
that's good.
She was smart.
That's a good. I mean, no, I'm just saying
I mean, and yeah, no, I mean this was like a big deal for me, right? And yeah. You know, I'm like, okay, well, I'm just, first of all, I'm just never going to care about anything ever again, is basically what I came down to from that. You know, like, I never did any team competition again. Like, I was in debate, which is a very individualized thing, and, you know, I succeeded or failed by my own merit. But
that's the problem. Like, you were not on a team that was out to win. You were out on a team that was out to give experiences to students. And those are very different things, right? And I'm not saying one is intrinsically better than the other.
Well, so that's the question, right? In a board game, is the goal to have fun or is the goal to win, right? I mean,
but that's why I really like the games where you don't know who's going to win until the end, like games where you're sort of like not keeping score. Like, I feel like that's one of the advantages of like Betrayal at House on the Hill is.
No, it's cool. That is a fascinating game because it is absolutely in your best interest for everyone to have a good time
in
the first three quarters of that game.
Right.
Right. It is just a fascinatingly designed game.
Yeah.
And I think
it's out of print just blows my mind.
The fact that a lot of people don't like it because they feel like it's not properly balanced or like, you know,
that's true.
You don't think so?
I feel
like it catches criticism from the scenarios too random and too popular.
I feel like the complaint about it not being balanced is false.
Yeah,
I mean, because it's
you can definitely get screwed.
I find that it's rare.
I feel like about half the time. Once, all right. So for those of you who don't know, Betrayal at House on the Hill. We should talk.
It's not a well-known game.
It's not something that you can buy, which is fucking sad because it is awesome. If you can get a hold of a copy of it on eBay and you like board games at all, do it. You if you are the kind of person who enjoys listening to this radio show, you will fucking love this game. So it is a game where you pick a character. You have these little sort of cardboard pucks with some stats on them and some sliders that keep track of your stats. It is not particularly deep, but it is very easy to understand the mechanics of the game. They are interesting without being overwhelming. You have like some sort of you have two physical traits and two mental traits, right? You've got like speed, strength, knowledge, and sanity.
Yeah,
right?
It's based on like Lovecraftian kind
of. So and
lore.
Your stats as a character, you have these. Every character has these tracks. So a particularly fast character will have a speed track, say, that starts at zero and then goes 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6. Right? So it's not like your speed stat is a
linear
one to six progression thing. It's you have so many points in speed, and every character starts with the same number of points in everything, but the way that those points actually correspond to numerical values differs based on the strengths or weaknesses of the character.
Right.
And there are a bunch of different characters that you can be, and it's basically like this haunted house game where you start out with you build the board as you play, which is a mechanic that I've always found really fascinating. You start out with this like kind of hallway that has a few doors leading from it. When your character decides to go through a door, you draw a room out of a stack of room tiles, and then that room will either have an item in it, which means you get to draw an item out of the item card, or it will have an event, which means you draw an item, or you draw a card out of the event card, which is like, the walls are covered in spiders, roll against your speed to step on the spider, or else lose one sanity from being all freaked out by some fucking spiders. Right, it's stuff like that. Stuff that raises and lowers your stats based on checks against your stats. You know, you roll a lot of dice. There are a bunch of D6s that are like 0, 0, 1, 1, 2, 2 on the sides of the dice.
Instead of 1 to 6.
Instead of
1 to 6,
it's 0 to 2. so you're basically rolling a bunch of D3-1. Every time you encounter a room with like a raven symbol on it, that is an omen. So an omen is like you draw a card from this deck that is these powerful artifacts that are things that are like, you know, whenever you are fighting a monster and using a strength check, you can use +2 against your strength because you have this dagger of despair or whatever. Whenever you draw an omen card, you roll like six dice, and if the total on those dice is less than the number of omen cards in play, then the betrayal happens, right? So given what room you found the last omen card in and what the last omen card is, there's this book.
50 different encounters.
There are 50. There are two books, actually. There's a book that tells you what's going on in the house. So it's like, oh, turns out one of you is a mad scientist. And it then tells you how to determine which of the players is the mad scientist. And then, all right, you're a mad scientist, and you, in this house, have developed a shrink ray. So at this point, you turn the shrink ray on all of the other players and loose your army of house cats onto them. So then you, as the mad scientist character, get a bunch of, like, house cat tokens that are monsters to play, and the players, in their book, are told what they need to do, which in that particular case is find their way to this model airplane so that they can fly out of the house and escape. So the structure of the game changes based on which haunting you get, which betrayal you get, and it becomes one person versus all the other people, but the whole part of the game leading up to that, and it's designed to be pretty likely that the game will last a certain amount of time, and people getting those omen cards makes you more powerful, right? The more of these items, the more of these artifacts that you have, the more powerful your characters are to deal with whatever threats they might encounter in the future. So the longer the game goes on, the harder it is for the bad guy to win.
Right. unless one person happens to get a ton of items and stuff like that, and then they become a traitor.
Right, sure. Or, you know, if the person who is the traitor gets some particularly powerful item that just happens to work out really well, I can see people being upset about the randomness.
Yeah.
And it is like the only complicated board game that we have all played
probably
a dozen times, and I would love to play it again. I want to play it again right now as a result of talking about it.
And as many times as we've played it, there's still got to be a good 8 or 12 scenarios that we haven't seen yet.
At least. Yeah, I feel like we've probably seen a third of the possible scenarios.
Because there's still an assload of tokens that we haven't punched out yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And they reuse them. They reuse a fair number of tokens in different scenarios, too.
Sometimes it ends in a way that isn't particularly fun. Like, sometimes it'll just happen that the deck is totally stacked against you.
That one game we played, you guys weren't there, we were playing at PAX, and my friend John was the betrayer, and the house was, like, full of these tentacles he had a set of rules that determined what the initial placement of the tentacles was going to be. So he spent like a good 10 minutes carefully deciding where they were all going to be and placing the tokens. And then we started and the rest of us like looked at the rules, and it turned out that the player that had the crystal ball item could use it without spending their turn to determine where, like, the root bulb of the tentacle monster was. And the player that had the spear could use it to automatically kill the monster once it had been found. And Jenny had both those items, and upon looking in the crystal ball, found that it was in the room next to her. So we spent 10 minutes setting it up, and Jenny went, "Oh, there it is. Stab."
So sometimes it works out. And the thing is, some of the scenarios make it very difficult for the players if you're sticking together, and some of them make it very difficult for you if you're split up.
Right.
There are rooms that ending your turn there increases your stats, so those, like, when those come up in the tiles, everyone sort of rushes to them because they want to, yeah, you know, it's like a little leveling up.
I feel like the experience that we had there is rare.
Yeah.
Most of the games I've played have come down very close.
Yeah, I would say that two-thirds of the times that we have played here, it has been a toss-up down to the last couple of turns who was going to win.
Right.
I understand that if somebody had had the opposite experience of us, they would feel like the game was very,
especially if they only played it once,
very randomness heavy and not. But that's the nice thing, is it only takes 45 minutes or an hour to play.
Once you're familiar with it, sure.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, we've been playing it pretty consistently for what, like 3 years? Yeah. You know, we'll still hop back in there every once in a while and play a couple games.
And there aren't any other board games they can think of that we pull out that often.
That goddamn Order of the Stick game. I played it once and it took like literally 8 hours.
We've played 5 or 6 games of Dominion since we got it, and that's only been a couple months.
That's true.
Dominion is a fun game.
It is.
And, you know, these games that are sort of cleverly differentiate the replay. You know, House on the Hill is different because you get a different haunt every time.
It is eminently replayable. And it even tells you. It's like if you get an encounter that you've done before, just skip to the next one on this grid, the nearest one on this grid, you know, and so it'll still make sense. Sometimes it gets a little goofy because it'll be like, you know, all right, so it turns out the house is alive, so you put its heart in the furnace room and its lungs in the balcony and its liver in the kitchen or whatever. And if none of those rooms are out yet, you know,
that's where the randomness comes in. Like a really thoroughly explored house almost always is in favor of the players, and a house that hasn't been explored is almost always in favor of the haunt. So, you know.
Lagib wrote, I just completed bartending school a week ago, and let me tell you, KOL alternately confused and helped me with mixology. Curses! Yeah. A lot of stuff that doesn't make any sense in KOL's cocktail crafting, just for the sake of balanced system.
Jubwa was asking for the duck farm to have an ultra-rare goose monster, which is pretty funny.
That is pretty funny, actually. Ultra-rare in the duck farm nobody would ever find, though.
Because of the limitations.
Yeah.
You say nobody, but...
The people that farm duct tape would find it.
We do occasionally get the and temporal bandit.
Yeah, I was gonna say the temporal bandit is also pretty limited,
but it's possible to keep farming the temporal bandit on purpose, right? I mean, not really, but it's possible to keep farming the battlefield on purpose.
Yeah. Those counterclockwise watches are still super rare, though.
Are they?
Of the ultra-rares, they are the least common.
Aren't they the most recently introduced one?
They might be. I mean, that plays into it, but it's also just, because of the limited access to it, it's that much rarer.
Skilled says, we should be able to breathe underwater with our feet, like in Mario 64. I don't know what that...
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
I don't remember Mario C. You know... I feel like, in general, I will make myself a pariah among people who like video games by saying this, but I did not like Mario 64.
I've not played it, so I don't know.
I think I tried to play it for like 5 minutes on the DS and just found it absolutely impossible to control.
Yeah. Super Mario World is really where the Mario series peaked for me. It's weird, you know, I would attribute that to... So I feel like everybody has the same experience with snowboarding games. The first snowboarding game they play is really awesome, and everyone after that sucks. Everybody has the same experience with Tony Hawk games. The first Tony Hawk game that they ever played was the best Tony Hawk game, and they just went downhill after that. Scully hated Tony Hawk 3. I loved it. He played 2 for the first time, and I played 3.
Maybe I'm spoiled on sports games because I played Electronic Arts, like the Olympic Games, whatever, Summer Games, and the Winter Games, whatever, where you do all these different sports and they're all kind of not that great. You know, these kind of suck.
Yeah. Sports games, you know, baseball games for the NES, me and my dad used to play a shitload of RBI baseball.
Although the Wii Sports was fun. The Wii baseball?
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
It was fun when we were drunk.
That's true, but almost anything is fun when you're drunk. Well, it is.
Like drinking more?
Yeah, we should drink more.
Well, we have not taken a music break.
We have not taken a music break. Maybe we should take a short music break to get another beer.
That's kind of what I was asking for. Yeah.
I don't really need to take a break, and you know, just normally we wouldn't force...
Then you get a beer while I answer some questions, and then I'll get a beer while you answer some questions.
Or I could get us both a beer while you answer some questions. That is a fucking great plan.
Yeah.
See, this is why I hired Hot Stuff. Plans like this.
Which is interesting, because just earlier in the show... I was going to be fired, so, you know.
Could you grab me a soda,
it
too?
It vacillates Vault. So much between between good and bad. Low-tech says, I was hoping the sea would stack up to be a slightly better meat farming area than the castle once you've jumped through all the hoops to be as efficient as possible there. Comments? That's an interesting question, because the sea definitely has the potential to become a tremendously strong meat farming area.
We have not even come close but we're not to even, putting all the hoops in or the
Jacob's like, we haven't even come close to putting all the hoops in yet. I mean, I would say we are probably halfway done with the underwater content at this point, with all the zones that are in. we have a lot of ideas for featured.
There's the stuff that leads to that can't really be
there's the whole
directly connected to it.
Right. There's that. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on in our heads. The whole Sea Monkey Castle will be populated, which right now it is not. So there's definitely a bunch of more stuff going on. We've got at least three or four zones that we've already sort of thematically decided what they're going to be. And then a whole sort of second subsection of the underwater area that we haven't even gotten to yet. That we're sort of just sort of narratively hinting at with each new zone. See, like, all this like subtext work goes into this that we don't even talk about. Nobody cares about our attempts to be all clever. All right. Extra beer. Although it only has one lime wedge, which I don't actually like Corona.
I'm not doing anything. I'll go get you another lime.
I like
you
limes.
Anything else while I'm over here?
and carbonated beverages, and Corona just happens to be a beer that you put lime into. Yeah. So Ebrix asks, can the Mad Hatter at least be allowed to breathe underwater when it's equipped with an aerated diving helmet? And that's a good question.
That comes up on every radio show, and we talk about it, and we say, okay, it wouldn't be, because I think it wouldn't be that hard to do.
Really?
It really wouldn't. It would be like a single line of code.
I forget what the helmet is hat rack coated.
Yeah, I don't know what it does on the hat rack. That's the thing. It just wasn't that important either.
Because it wasn't like crazy plus items or whatever.
Yeah, I think we deliberately made it not particularly important.
Right. I think partly because I assume that it would be used for good and not for awesome or something.
Dimalidi had written, when I heard you argue about complexity / puzzles, it reminded me of Wii People versus Xbox 360. Maybe you could simplify gameplay based on Ascension, casual versus hardcore. I don't think it needs to be simplified for casual is the thing. Like,
because you have access to so much more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really not hard. You basically every quest in KOL is adventure where the quest log tells you until something happens.
But
you know, there are a few tricky bits, but once you've done them once,
it's not so much a question of difficult versus tedious.
Sure, but the casual people don't care about the tedium, I would say. The casual people are not working toward a goal with the same intensity that the hardcore people are. I think that KOL in general is Wii with a handful of Xbox 360 people like vacationing there and trying to turn it into Xbox 360. Right? Like,
yeah.
Huh.
Oh no, another putt says, spooky putted hobo shouldn't count towards runs. It screws crap up. Boy, does it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really.
It's weird.
It's messy. So there was that bug that seemed pretty serious that you had messaged me about today, but I don't believe that it's real.
I don't know. I didn't understand it enough to be able to figure out what's going on.
Fucking his bug reports are as bad as his forum posts. This is like... he's like Pocket Hell. Remember Pocket Hell?
Vaguely.
Oh, yeah.
That guy ruled. But then as soon as we... Yeah, I don't even want to talk about this. we invited him to Dev, and then we were like, dude, you don't have to talk like that. And he's like, oh, really? Oh, okay. And then he's never logged on again. It was like, wasn't fun for him anymore if he wasn't am to be the guy that are this, please.
Was it Dev or...
Or Lounge? Yeah. I guess we didn't Dev him. Yeah,
yeah, that was a surprise to some people.
Yeah, that was back when I used to be in Lounge.
You know, some people actually still care.
I still care. I just care from over here. I'll be over here, caring, in a room by myself. You guys have fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a fun bike ride home. I'm going to run as many fucking red lights as I can, and if I get pulled over for biking under the influence, I'm going to be like, fuck you, pigs, I don't have a driver's license.
Mikey G commented that the NG does not show up in the list of usable combat items when in combat. This makes fighting the giant desktop globe... Oh, man, that was totally a spoiler. Difficult, as in impossible. I believe that was related to a bug that I believe CD Meier fixed, wherein crafting items did not...
Oh, fuck. Yeah, because he wouldn't have...
And there's a new bug which is also kind of funny, which is the flip side of that. When you use a combat item as an ingredient in a recipe, it also is not updating your list.
So it showed, yeah.
So it shows up even though you don't have it.
You know, that is one of those things. It saved so much server traffic. Every round of combat, not having to hit your inventory is totally worth it, but it's just so many fucking problems. Like,
eventually we will catch them all. And
that's true. It's just like the Pokemons.
We do have to catch them all.
I heard you like Pokemans. Yo, dog. I heard you like Mudkips. So let me...
Put a mudkip in my mudkip
so I can show you mine while I show you mine.
My favorite is still the yo dog. I heard you like dolls.
Yeah, exhibit with the what do you call those things?
Nesting dolls.
There's a name for them.
Yeah,
proper noun.
Matryoshka or something like that.
Matryoshka?
I don't know. It's got a shka.
I thought it started with a K.
Yeah, it could be.
Kornikova.
Yes, Kornikova dolls. Yo, dog, I heard you like being an overrated tennis player. Isn't there some new hot tennis player now? Who's actually, like, better than... No, it was all just butch lesbians before. Anna Kournikova was the first hot tennis player.
Really?
Well, except for Bjorn Borg, he was pretty hot.
Matryoshka doll. Huh. Why did we think it started with a K? Weird. Russian is a complicated language.
Yeah, the whole prepositional cases thing, like, Dr. Galactic took a couple years of Russian in college, and he said that Russian has so many more cases than other languages with cases that it's...
Even just like... Or no, wait, I'm thinking.
Yeah, German has four cases, yeah. Right? So, and that's about as many as there are in most, like, sort of Romance or like, sort of Western languages. I mean, I don't think English ever had any more than four. Now it has none. But it still has relics of having had cases. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. The development of languages is kind of a fascinating topic. And the ways in which English still has a bunch of these cases, but they're not overt.
I was reading. At one point, I borrowed a bunch of books from my dad and read a lot about how languages work and how they come to be with the goal of developing a created language, but as accurately as and intricately as possible to the way languages actually go. But as is average to me, the project got larger and larger until the point where it was impossible to actually complete it.
Well, but, I mean, that wasn't that Tolkien's goal, though, was to create a language, and part of creating a language was creating the lore around it.
Yeah.
What starts you down that road?
The desire to create a language.
What was in it for him? You know, I mean, he just had like a comfy teaching gig, right? Like,
the desire to really understand what it means to create a language. You know, like.
But I mean, well, also that doesn't really mean anything because
his overall goal
ever
for
did that.
His overall goal for Middle Earth also was to have a sort of a mythology for England. In the way that, like, the King Arthur stuff is France's, and...
Wait, King Arthur stuff is France's?
Yeah. King,
Mort d'Arthur?
Yeah, yeah,
Mort
d'Arthur, originally
it's
written
all French.
In French, right? Like,
yeah,
it...
But
I always think of that as an English thing,
yeah,
but
it's,
I,
yeah,
it's
but
English,
it's totally
it's
not. It's
just
yeah.
not, yeah.
Huh.
I mean, does it... Yeah, I mean... That's the thing, though. I don't know that the problem was that England didn't have a mythology so much as that the modern world doesn't have a mythology. Like, you know, because I mean, England was fairly new, right? Like, England was like that 1,000 years.
Okay, I mean that's
right, but I mean, how long?
Country.
Sure, but I mean, how long has France been there? Last time.
Well, it's been there. I mean, it was Gaul when the Romans were there.
Yeah, it was Gaul, yeah. Which was, you know.
Is that? Do you consider that France?
I don't know.
If you so, you have a lot of Gaul.
Oh,
zing!
I, you know, like it's less old than say
Italy,
or you know, Scandinavia. In general, as like a sort of Norse population, right?
Okay.
Like they, you know,
Greece.
The Romans and the Greeks had a mythology. The Egyptians had
a
mythology.
Well, here's like, the question, though: did they have a mythology, or did they have a system of beliefs that is now what we call mythology?
But that's what I'm saying. The reason that England does not have a mythology is because they're not old enough. I mean,
well, but there were people inhabiting, and there was all kind of like Celtic stuff going on, and like that becomes a mythology. When the people are no longer believing in it, right? Like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, you know, 1,000 years from now, will Christianity still be a religion, or will it be a mythology?
Right.
Right. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's a question for the ages.
For a shield?
We should ask them. We should ask the ages how they feel about that. I'm flushing some questions.
Are you?
Yeah. Tatter says, I'm surprised that the trader only came around twice last year and four times in 2007. Hopefully the trader will come by at least twice this year. Scully, make sure you don't spoil anything this time. Yeah, dude. That was a fucking accident. He didn't even know.
Yeah, what happened?
Unintentional.
Yeah, we had that whole plan about the shiny discs and then taking them the next time and we didn't tell anybody about, and then Scully like made a joke about how that's what we should do.
Oh, I didn't know that it happened.
If you ever want to know what it sounds like when I'm awkwardly trying to avoid saying something, you should listen to that segment of that radio show, because I'm like, I was sweating bullets, man. Postangum says, what will come out of the sunken chest when someone figures out how to unlock it?
There's a reset. There's a whole thread about that, too.
Now, if somebody ever unlocks it, it is coded to reset the game.
See, you shouldn't lie like this.
Lie, lie,
lie. Lie, lie,
lie. Lie, 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 lie.
I feel like at some point we should actually make it openable. And not tell anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, let it stay established as...
And it contains a hermit-killing knife?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess as like a vehicle to just go through every single in-game created sort of bit of lore. That'd be kind of funny. Some sort of Da Vinci Code style.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like puzzle where you like figure something out and it leads you to some other thing which is even more fantastic and something else even more fantastic.
Ryhole 3 says, so how about a macro that uses other macros? Yo, dog, I heard you like macros. Ack 47 says, toy space helmet for adventuring underwater. No, it's not that kind of... Space helmets do not work that way.
Yeah. Cloak does not enable user to fly.
That was, I forget what it was. No, I was listening to some podcast, and somebody just yelled in the middle of something, "Windmills do not work that way!" Futurama is fucking great. I watched an episode of Futurama last night, and it was just fucking great. Just like every episode of Futurama. Remember which? It was the Omicron Percy I ate episode that showed up. Well, it was the one where it starts out with him spilling beer onto the TV thing in his own time, and then 1,000 years later, signal breaks in the middle, so they have to reenact the episode of
single female lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That show is so fucking good. I'm not saying this because I'm dry. I love you guys, and I love that show. This is real, man. This is how I really feel.
It's weird that, like, almost by admission, they knew that The Simpsons was kind of, like, past its prime, and so they started a new show, right? Like, they're just unwilling to put it down like a dog that needs to go.
I feel like even the people writing for The Simpsons now understand that, you know? But you know what? If they offered me a job writing for The Simpsons, I would fucking take it.
Really?
Yeah.
But if they offered 5 or 6 totally new people a job writing for The Simpsons, it might not suck so much anymore. Yeah. It's not that it sucks either. It's just not as good.
It's just done. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't suck. It's just done. If it actually started to suck, they would probably kill it, you know? But it doesn't say. It's
just, it was so much better before, and now
I don't actually know that that's true.
It was really funny in, like, the 3rd or 4th season, fifth, sixth, it's like in that area.
But that was 17 years ago.
15 years ago.
Right. My wife, we showed her $240 worth of pudding.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was like, "It was so much funnier hearing you guys talk about it than it was actually saying." And I said, "Honey, keep in mind."
Yeah, I watched the first season of The State recently, and I was like, you know, this is
close.
This is funny, but it's nowhere near as funny as, like, Kids in the Hall was.
When we were in high school, it was 15 years ago.
Was it when we were in high school?
Yeah. The State was, like, 92, 93, I think.
Yeah. It was definitely high school.
Yeah.
It's on MTV.
And
93 to 95. Wow.
So, and you know, honestly, wow. Like, she kind of got it. She was like, okay, all right, fair enough. It was 15 years ago. What is funny changes. You know,
sure.
Family Guy flopped when it came out.
Right.
It flopped and was canceled.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Interestingly enough, like, my dad was really into it when it first ran. He was like, this is so much funnier than The Simpsons.
Huh.
And you know, he was like, it's weird that, like, you know, if you had told me 20 years ago that when I was 50 that the thing that I enjoyed the most on television was a fucking cartoon, I would have told you were crazy. Like, but
Seth MacFarlane knows what's going on.
I the first time I saw Family Guy, I was like, this sucks.
Really?
I saw one episode that wasn't particularly good. But then the thing that sold me on it, Dad made me watch an episode, and it was I forget what's going on, but something catches on fire and Brian runs in with a fire extinguisher. But when he hits the thing on the fire extinguisher, a bunch of, like, novelty paper snakes flies out of it and just catch on fire and make the fire a lot worse. Like, all right, that was pretty funny.
My favorite episode is still the Y2K episode.
The Twinkie Factory and
Randy Newman.
Just sitting out there singing what he sees.
So good. And the opening thing is that, like, awesome fight sequence with the chicken.
There was an episode that I saw the other night, and Aaliyah just didn't get it at all. Right, because she had not seen this video, but it was a flashback to some time when Stewie had done a report for the evening news where he's standing on this platform being taught how to stomp grapes. Uh-huh. Have you seen that video of the blooper from the evening news where the woman is stomping the grapes on the platform? But Riff, have you seen that?
No.
Some of our listeners. So there's this video of, like, news bloopers. It's the one where about the guy who climbed Mount Everest, but get this, he's gay. I mean, blind. I know it's funnier when I tell that story than when you actually watch it. Oh boy!
What was the grapes on the platform?
So the grapes. So there's this woman's like stomping grapes, and you know she's like talking to somebody about you know next. There's two women on the platform.
Yeah.
With these little buckets, like tubs, stomping grapes.
Right.
And one of them is the one who works at the grape stompery or whatever, and one of them is the you know
newscaster,
the field reporter, and. The field reporter is talking to the woman for a second, and then she's like, all right, I'm just going to go nuts and stomp the shit out of these grapes, and trips and falls off the platform, falls off the screen, and all you hear is going, ah, wow, 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 wow. They just reenact that, like, they just verbatim in this episode of Family Guy. And it's like, that is fucking awesome. And there are a lot of things, like, every once in a while they'll do something on Family Guy that I'm like, okay, I have no fucking idea what they're talking about, but that was obviously something.
Right, a reference.
That if I, yeah, it was a reference. And I looked them up, you know. when that happens, I look it up, and I figure out what it was a reference to, and so on.
And is it still funny to you, or is it like, okay, I get it now? Because, like, how many people read something in KOL and are like,
what the fuck is this? Why did they
think
that?
This is supposed to be funny, and...
I honestly think that the times when I don't know, you know... I was so happy. I didn't even get to play Minotaur China Shop, right?
Minotaur China
Shop. Yeah, there's a flash game that on my the reason I got an this is fucked up, but this is the actual reason that I got a new desktop machine for my office.
To play Minotaur China Shop?
No, because there were flash games coming out that my computer was not powerful enough to play.
Okay.
And if I can't even play like casual games at work, like Playing Flash games is an important part of what we do.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that.
I know.
Right? So I could not do that at work with the computer that my computer was old. It was like a 3-year-old and it was a
crazy.
I know, it was crazy. But it was like a Dell sort of workstation computer. It wasn't even like a you know. It was significantly less powerful than the 3-year-old computer that I have at home.
Right.
That I had at home before this last one that I bought to actually play games on. But, I did not get to the actual gameplay of Minotaur China Shop, but I got to the screen where you're selecting skills, and one of them was a relaxation skill, and the tooltip on it was calm down, just calm down. And I read that, and this is so gay. But, like, I got chills from recognition. On that.
Huh.
I actually got that sort of like endorphin blast of like,
wow,
the guy who made this game totally saw that Whitest Kids You Know Abraham Lincoln sketch and just fucking knows me, man. Fucking knows me. This game is for fucking me, man. Did you read, if you see in the toilet, somebody wrote a book.
Oh, that...
That I put in the toilet.
That report or dissertation or whatever it is?
Yeah, somebody... I don't exactly know what's going on about it, but we got interviewed a while back about a... It's like a book about Zork, I think. And there's a chapter about Zork's influence on social networking games, right? And so... But the guy talks about, like, why do people like KOL? Well, I like it because of... When you drink the tequila with training wheels, it gives you a line from this refreshment song that, and he just talks about how satisfying that was to him, and like,
yeah, the cranberries description was like,
you were super happy about
that.
Yeah,
I was super happy.
That made you like me.
Yeah.
Without ever having met me.
Yeah.
That made you feel like you and I could probably hang.
Yeah.
And you know
it's like the item descriptions that are a single line like that are something we don't tend to do as much anymore. And somehow still, I don't know if it's just, you know, the first one that really clicked with me. I remember a friend of mine was like, the description of the meat car was what totally sold her on KOL.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, you know. This whole notion of a referential culture is kind of weird, right? Because it's like, this is postmodernism, right? Where...
And
we're not necessarily creating something new. We're creating reference to things that were.
I worry a little bit that, like, you know, okay, so we're doing what the people 1,000 years ago hoped that they were doing, which was like, you know, writing something that people cared about and people were interested in, and that actually got sort of entered into the cultural lexicon. But like, ours are not going to make a goddamn bit of sense in 1,000 years. You know?
Well, they would. They will if the wiki survives for 1,000 years too.
Well,
right. That has all these like this. This is what this is about. This could possibly mean this.
But right, but it's referenced.
This is what
other
this is about, and it's just completely wrong.
Well, there aren't that many totally wrong things in the wiki, though.
There are a
few. I was reading a bunch of stuff that was like, this could mean this or this or this, and it's like three different, totally different interpretations, and I'm like, it might be one of those. I didn't write it, so I don't know.
What do we have that's 1,000 years old? Beowulf.
I mean, we have a bunch of like Plato, and we have a bunch of Greek stuff, and some
pre-Socratic
philosophy.
I guess that's true. I guess Beowulf is 1,000 years old. Is the like the English?
Yeah, thing. Like that's like the important old thing English stuff. That, yeah. We have that Beowulf, and there's what's the Canterbury Tales?
Canterbury Tales, yeah.
Like that's
the Miller's Tale is all naughty.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, I
so,
know.
What, there Shakespeare's was a, there like was a 500 years old.
Subtle reference to cunnilingus in that. It was weird that was actually a big deal in high school. That the Miller's Tale was like, I think we might have actually had to take a form home to sign.
Wow, really?
To read the Miller's Tale.
That's
I'm not
ridiculous.
Positive about that. I might just be making that up.
Yeah, I feel like you might be.
But it was definitely something that came up. It was definitely something that I knew about a long time before we actually got to read it, and then we were just like, what the fuck? You guys are fags. next radio show.
Yeah.
We should just answer like 200 questions. People hate that too, though. People like the ones where we answer like 100 questions and then bullshit for the other 100 questions worth of time.
We're by your definition, we will never win.
I know.
Making a radio show.
But I mean, by my definition, we've never done enough work, you know? It is my constant level of unhappiness that drives all progress.
Yes. But I think it is really neat how everyone who plays the game who plays the game for a long time and who really gets into it, like there's one particular thing or a handful of particular things that they're like, that's so clearly aimed at me, and you know they are. That's the thing.
I know, and that's that we've always said that. Like there was an interview with the Mystery Science Theater guys, which was like, you know, what's the deal with the obscure references? And they were like, you know what? Like 10 people are going to get that, and for those 10 people, it is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it is.
It totally is.
Of the Hill People says, hey, Jake and Company, I went to the Phoenix Comic Con this past weekend, and Killer Zombie Monkey and I both shook hands with Will Wheaton, Jesus of Geeks.
He was there? I like Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton was just everywhere for so long.
He's
I feel like the whole like second half of the last year, I was just like, oh, there's Will Wheaton again. I never actually talked to him, but like
his son plays KOL.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He and his son stopped by our booth 2 years ago at Comic Con, and we had like a good 15-minute conversation about stuff. And he had never heard of it, and his son had never heard of it, or whatever. And so they picked it up, and then his son started playing. And then last year, when he was
at the Dumbrella booth across the hall.
Yeah, he was sort of a regular fixture over there. I talked to him again for a little while, and he said, "Yeah, my son's totally been playing this kind of nonstop for the past year." Hmm. So.
That's awesome.
And he's. I remember the reason that we actually got into a conversation was like, yeah, I read that blog post about your, you know, you playing D&D with your son and him throwing the goat and stuff like that. And I was just really sort of, I found that really resonant. And then we just had a really nice conversation because I think he was much happier that I had read his blog than I was like, oh my God, you want to talk to
him? What's up, Leslie?
Yeah.
You fix the holiday for us?
But. You know, he's written some books and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
no,
he's a good dude.
His keynote at not the previous PAX, but the one before that was fucking moving.
Yeah, he's a thoughtful human being.
Yeah. You can run into him again if he's at PAX again. I bet he will be because he's been the last 2 years, but. Yeah. I'm excited for you to go to PAX because
I've never been.
We get the kind of crazy VIP tour of PAX. Like, it's because I mean, it
It's interesting that we have to get it through.
Yeah,
actions.
No, it is. It is. But I mean, that's how it works, right? I mean, that's how the shit happens. But you know, it like being there, and it's like, okay, so three of the five people that have like tables set up in the like come meet these people area, like three of the five tables are people that we could just be like, hey, how's it going? You know, which in your case, Will Wheaton,
I see,
MC Frontalot. The mini bosses.
Oh, right.
Like, and you know, it's those three and two other people, right? And it's like, you know, it's interesting to be there and feel so sort of alien because of the just like youth video game culture that's fucking just crazy.
In what sense?
It's crazy. You'll see.
Okay.
youth video game culture killed my video game dog. And I don't think it's video game fair.
Killed your radio dog.
I'm gonna see if Iluro Dragon is ready to rock this shit because we're over time. We're taking care of business every day. Everybody's working for the weekend. You know what? I'm taking this weekend off. Gotta get the item of the month done tomorrow, but then I'm actually not working this weekend. I've decided.
Nice.
I guess I have to work on Sunday though. Fuck.
Why?
Because that's when the item of the month actually rolls.
Sunday's the 1st, I think.
Sunday's the 31st. So Sunday at rollover is when. Yeah. We need a song.
This is a long month.
This was a long show. All right. We're going out on some bangles. And we'll see you Monday.
See you.
Ooh.
You can build them again. Look around. Grass.